to a newborn baby, a loving mother's touch is very important. If that child maybe is deprived of that, it has an effect on it. Such a blight on our nation that women choose to abort or to adopt out their child, depriving them of a loving touch from them. But that's the way today's world is. I read about a woman who had success in touching a little son of hers. He come in saying some very unkind remarks about his playmates. She was aware that there was parental assistance needed, and she thought of her options, how to take care of the situation. She finally decided to call him by name, and she told him, "I'm going to hug some love in you." So she wrapped her arms around him, and he wasn't real responsive at first, but she embraced him till it melted him. Her mother's loving arms around and about her son. When she released him, he went out to play. But in the course of the afternoon, when he would become upset, he would come back and say, "Mother," or he'd come back to her and say, "I need you to hug some more love in me." So, touch, even a human touch, can mean a lot in a situation. They used to have an article in the Faith and Victory, and it said, "I saw Jesus." And Sister Marilyn Eck wrote that she went to a meeting needing something, needing a blessing, however she stated it. She said there was a sister come in, and she stopped by her and placed her hand upon her shoulder just for a brief time. But in that was a touch that gave her a great blessing. So the human touch can be a blessing, but above and beyond the human, the divine touch. When Jesus was here, he had a ministry that reached out and touched many lives. He was very broad in his touching. It is recorded in Mark, the 10th chapter, about how he touched the children. Mark 10 and 13. "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Skipping over to the 16th verse, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hand upon them, and blessed them." Now, if you can picture in your mind's eye a number of mothers who have heard of Jesus, perhaps walked a number of miles to get to Jesus, And they had an object in their minds that they wanted Jesus to pay some attention to their children. But the disciples had objections. They were not of the mind that the mother's was, on Jesus' knowledge of what was going on. He told them to suffer the little children to come unto him. And he took time for them. They were important to Jesus. And he took time out of his busy daily routine, schedule, and agenda to put his hands upon these children and to bless them. And can you imagine the children that were old enough to understand what was happening, and they were old enough to remember this occasion, that in the future of their life, when they had children, when they had grandchildren, they could say, "Children, gather around. I want to tell you what happened to me when I was just a little child. Jesus took us, touched us, and blessed us." And the words that he spoke in that blessing, I can recall it as if it was today. The words. And in the times of difficulties and hard places, those words have been a stabilizing force in my life. They could go on and say, "Children, I wouldn't take anything for that experience of having Jesus to touch me and to bless me." He touched blind eye. And though he is not here in person, he's still by his Spirit able to touch. One song said, "While sleeping, careless, on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so." Something about that divine touch. If you're saved today, you've had a divine touch on your life. One songwriter put it like this: "He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole." Oh, the touches of divine touches are wonderful. In this today's world, we have many lives, do we not, that need a divine touch? I was fairly recent in a congregation, and after the service there was a couple of sisters there, and I had been noticing that I had been seeing her husband with her. And so the sister asked her about her husband. And she notified her, and it was news to me. They were not together. He had left. Married years. And I probably never even suspected that there was any kind of a difficulty in that marriage. He's gone his way. So there are homes that have been broken that need a divine touch. I have a nephew that made a mistake in his choice of, well, he married someone that had been married, and the marriage was not ordained of God, and it was not a good union. There were two children, two boys, and my nephew finally got to the place where he felt like that he was just going to leave, and he did. He walked out. Well, his youngest son has been left in the custody of his mother. And he's got emotional problems today. As far as I know, they haven't all been resolved, and it's caused trouble. Even at one time, the police was in on it. So, homes and people's lives, and I don't know if my nephew's son will ever be able to rise without the help of the Lord. He may not ever be, even with counseling, and his dad cares deeply about him, but it may never be that he has just a real normal life due to the brokenness. What a touch could do for him. And that's just one of, what, hundreds and thousands, and so common. Poor little children. I have been on airplanes where a child was going to go visit a parent in another state. Not together. So, there's touches needed in our world, is there not? There are those who are suffering emotionally. There are those who are suffering mentally. A lot of mental anguish can come from attitudes. An attitude towards another individual can cause mental anguish and suffering. Remember when David got to looking in an envious way at the rich, and he got to thinking, and his thoughts were painful to him? Thoughts can actually be painful. Attitudes can actually promote mental pain. I was in a service here probably less than a year ago, and a sister come up and sit on the altar for anointing. And there was the ones that gathered around, and before the anointing and prayer, she had a confession that she had had an attitude towards her husband and towards the church. And it was bothering her enough to make it open before the ministry there. And later in the meeting, she actually made it public there in the meeting about attitude. So there are many today that need a divine touch to their attitudes. And sometimes attitudes is over something very, very minute or should be insignificant. I've told at different places about a woman that put some money in a stamp machine, and the stamps didn't come out. So she saw an address up on this machine, and she decided she was going to write a request for payment of them stamps, and also she wanted to be reimbursed for the money she used to send that request. Well, it was probably less than a dollar altogether, but anyway, She took the time and effort to do it, and then she took this address and posted it up in a visible place. Well, she never heard. Time went by, she never heard anything from this company she wrote to. And when she would look at that address, there would be some feelings come. Attitudes would produce feelings, won't it? So these feelings would come every time she would look at that address. And maybe she'd replay in her mind how she put her money in and didn't get any stamps, and she went to the trouble to request the money and no response. So this went on I don't know how long, but finally one day she was doing some cleaning and she looked at that address and that old feeling started coming, but this time she did something different. She said a prayer, reached over and got that address and threw it in the trash, and the feelings went too. She had a different attitude. There are numbers of people today suffering from attitudes that need a divine touch to change those attitudes. The brother was talking last night about rights. Well, where I live, part-time. I'm in an apartment, and we have outside of our apartment. I don't have a car, but there is a sign that says reserve for apartment 10. That would be my apartment. So no one, what I was told, is supposed to park in my space, even though I don't have a car. Well, people don't always observe signs. Do I have a right? And I want to have such a good attitude that I prefer than being there. Even if I have to take a suitcase into a different area and get loaded up in a different area than my space, I want to have the right attitude. I've asked the Lord to help me behave myself. And sometimes it's awfully windy in Oklahoma, and the person that, it's kind of in a prime area for parking, and they would maybe park a distance, and their hair might get blown some, and I don't like my hair to be blown, so I want a good attitude about people parking in my space. Maybe that don't seem very, very, very important, but I want a good attitude about it. Well, there are physical divine touches. I've had physical touches. They're real, aren't they? And we have some living examples of those who have had miraculous touches. Brother Michael Smith, you know, has the passion for Africa, and he got an infected mosquito bite, and he got this baby to the door of death, and it was very serious. But you know, there were some people that was really burdened. I was in Florida, and one sister had kind of a late night shift of praying for Brother Michael. Well, somebody must have touched Jesus, and Jesus touched Brother Michael, brought him back, and I think he's been to Africa 2 times since then, and I think he's planning to go again. So, can you imagine the exhilarant feeling that those African orphans and people got when they got to see Brother Michael return to Africa after he was just almost gone into eternity? So, it is something that can happen, a divine touch that can touch your body and make a difference in it. Divine touch. May God help us to always remain in the hands of God, that He would touch our bodies when it is His divine will to do. Well, there are those who have need of a touch of healing to their soul. Captain John Newton was a wicked captain on a ship that transported slaves. And he was so mean he beat them. Oh, he had an awful, dirty mouth. And his language was terrible. Well, Isaiah had that trouble too, but he got a divine touch one day, didn't he? Took the coal from the altar, put it right on his mouth, and I don't think it was any problem to him after that. Well, this Captain John Newton was a mean man. But one day, something happened to him. He was shackled by a heavy burden of sin. But one day, salvation came to Captain John Newton. And he was so transformed and changed, he made a preacher, or the Lord made a preacher out of him, and he'd become a songwriter. And one of the most sought after, perhaps, and sung song. After 9/11, it was just a very popular hymn. That man, who had been so vile and wicked and evil, had such a change in his life, that divine touch had touched him so deeply that he was able to write the words, Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a life. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, he once was lost. He was once wretched. But that touch made the difference. And he also was able to recognize God to the point that he said, Drew near ye day, years cold and snow, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will be revived. And he had faith to believe that the benefit, what had happened to him, wasn't going to end in this life. But he could visualize when we've been there 10,000 years. Think of it. rise, shine, the sun, we know to sing God's praise, and we first begun. He didn't write this one, but it's good. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Amen, brother. He's worthy. He also can divinely touch finances, money problems. A lot of that in today's world, isn't it? Homeless people. People on food stamps. I heard there was 38. Surely it was 38 million people on food stamps. A vast number, anyway. There's a story recorded in 2 Kings about a woman that had a very grave financial problem. 2 Kings 4. In first verse. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You wouldn't have wanted to be in that lady's sandals that day, would you? She lost her husband, and now she was going to lose her two sons. It was an overwhelming thing to her. And so she went to lay out the problem to the man of God. She was married to a poor preacher. And on hearing this, he asked her a question. What do you have? And she said, a pot of oil. He gave her step-by-step instructions. You go borrow. You come back, and he told her just what to do. Well, human reasoning, what she was supposed to do was take these vessels and start pouring. Human nature could have said, well, all that's going to happen is you're just pouring it out of this one into that. Couldn't it? Yeah, it would be reasonable to think nothing's going to happen. Whatever thought she had in her mind, she dismissed him enough to start pouring. And when she started pouring, a miracle started happening. She poured her way out of debt and money to live on. Her room became a divine laboratory, increasing the oil from vessel to vessel. And she poured until she ran out of vessels. There was a divine touch on that oil that day. Makes a difference, that divine touch. There was a brother and sister in Oklahoma that were farming. And they was having crop failures. The banker decides, no more money, I'm going to loan you. I'm going to take the farm from you. So this was in the works. Seemed like some things had already been loaded. Well, the banker, for some reason, decided to come out. Their name was Douglas. The good Douglas, what had been their farm. And he was coming up to the house. I don't know how close he got. And Sister Douglas was inside singing, "My Jesus, I love of thee, I know thou art mine. For thee, all the following us I resign my gracious Redeemer, my Savior of time. If ever I love thee, I don't know what part he heard, if he stood there and listened to it all. I don't think he interrupted her. The verse that I have liked was, I love thee of death as first love and purchase my heart and not earthly things. I love thee for wearing the thorns on my breast. If ever I love thee, I, Jesus, is mine. They were going to be homeless. But she was singing an up-to-date love song to Jesus. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And it wasn't going to be just for that day, but it was going to be, I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. I don't know how much he heard of the song, but it touched him. He couldn't go through with it. He backed off. You know what he did? He started loaning them more money. And you know what happened? They started having crop successes and was able to pay him off. A divine touch to that banker's heart changed him from removing that couple from their home. He was not going to loan them any more money, but he loaned them more money. And God blessed them, touched the crops. The next year, they started having crop success. Divine touches, folks, makes a difference. We ought to serve him because that touch is what really souls long for. They long for that touch. Their soul longs for that touch of Jesus. There's no other touch like it. They can fill their life with education, entertainment, and whatever they choose. But the one songwriter wrote, I will serve thee in all thy glory. You have given life to me. I was not so true before you. You have given life to me. Heartaches and broken pieces, ruin life, of what you. But your touch was what I longed for. You have given thank God for his touches. I have a poem. The title of it, The Touch of the Master's Hand. It was battered and scarred. The oxen here thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I? What am I did, good people, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1? $1? Do I hear two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin, he tightened up the strings. He played a melody, pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what now am I bid for this old violin? As he held it aloft with its bow. $1,000, do I hear two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, we just don't understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, all battered with bourbon and gin, is oxen cheap to a worth a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. The touch of the master's hand. If you're here today, have an area in your life, whether it's in your thought processes or your emotions, what your need might be, ask the Lord to give you a touch. He's still in the touching business, and He likes to do it. There's no age restriction. May God bless us. Our Father today, we're thankful for your gift in Jesus, that He was so touched with the needs of humanity that He laid down His life for us. We owe you a lot of gratitude and thanksgiving. You today, Lord, know everyone that's here at this service this morning. Look into the hearts and minds and emotions and bless every one of us. We need you so much. We want them touches to be ongoing in our life. Don't ever, please, Jesus, stop touching us. Touch us daily. Oh God, we ask you to reach out and touch those who have a family member today that have chose to go the way that the wages of sin is death. Lord, would you touch hearts today? Touch hearts in this meeting. Brother Philip's song says, by that power divine, touch the hearts of men. Would you do that in this camp meeting? It takes your Holy Spirit to do it. Don't ever leave us, Holy Spirit. We need your divine touches so desperately. We don't have big entertainments. We don't have real professional voices. Some real good ones, but none that's making big money off a scene. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to touch hearts and minds and lives. Please do it in this meeting. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.